Today we'd like to see the title of a certificate of divorcement in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and 24 to the souls on this online world through a podcast or a YouTube channel on earth. We'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 23:18, you shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2. In chapter 24, verse 1, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Last question, chapter 24, verse 21. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Explain what it means with an example. What can we learn from here? In the last time of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 30, a man shall not take his father's wife, nor uncover his father's bed. A man's sexual relationship with his father's wife, incest, is prohibited. For example, Reuben's incest with Jacob's fourth wife in the light of Genesis 35, verse 22, and it happened when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. Today we cover the Mosaic law to the Jews, but when Jesus yielded up his spirit on the cross, he tore down the veil in the temple that separated us from God in the light of Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn to from top of bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 20-21, and to the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might win Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the Lord, that I might with those who are under the law, to those who are without law or are not under the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. So we are not under Mosaic law, but under law toward Christ. So in other words, under the Mosaic law toward Christ. Here, chapter 23, verse 1. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. He who is emasculated, not able to produce children. Who is mutilated means castrated, shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Verse 2, one of illegitimate the child of out of marriage shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. After the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Ammonite, Moabite, Shalat, and to the assembly of the law, even to the 10th generation, that is hostile to Jewish people, none of the descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and word on the Lord when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Verse 5, nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Verse 5, here, explanation. Even if Balaam was bribed by Balak to curse Israelites, Balaam listened to God and blessed Israel for a while. But Balaam later disobeyed God, stumbling Israel to worship Baal the idol at Beor. Then is here cross reference right there. Verse 6, you shall not seek their feast, nor their prosperity all your days forever. You shall not abhor an Edomite. In other words, you shall not hate Edomite. Edomite is for his your brother. So that is the brother of Jacob. You shall not abhor the Egyptian, because you were an alien in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When the army goes out against your enemies, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. So don't involve wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall come inside the camp, because the camp is clean. But it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and when the sunset, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside of the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your repute. So pool casing, you should cover it with the joyful. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he may be no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. Then shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel, or a perverted one of the sons of Israel. So, nor, you know, male prostitute or prostitute female. Verse 18, you shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. Then the worships of some idols involved the prostitution practice. For example, Balaam's counsel caused the Israelites to commit harlotry or prostitution with the women of Moab in the Baal worship at Peor. God wants marriage to be clean or holy for the purpose of godly offspring. So we as parents should bring up children in the training and admonition of the Lord. So God prohibited the offering and with prostitution or harlotry practice. Here is a dog means unclean or unholy male prostitute in the context, such as not to give what is holy to the dogs, unclean, unholy, or unwanting people. Here, verse 19, you shall not charge interest of your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner, okay, you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand, in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God would surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin. So vowing is a voluntary willing. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you are voluntarily or willingly vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. Verse 25, when you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. God's heart is on the needy or hungry people because God is merciful. So a needy or a hungry person may eat the grapes through the vineyard, grains through grain fields or other fruits, not taking them out. Jesus' disciples took the grains accordingly, but the issue of Sabbath raised to Jesus by Pharisees. You know, that's just an example, right? Chapter 24. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, he writes her a certificate of divorce or a bill, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Question 2. Generally, God hates divorce, but rarely allowed it. Because of uncleanness, such as a virginity issue or adultery during divorce, during marriage, adultery during marriage, allowed at uncleanness case with a certificate or a bill of divorce. Also in verse 4, the divorce was final and irreversible. Jesus said in general, what God has joined together, let not man separate except sexual immorality. The divorced person is discouraged to remarry in verse 4 and by Jesus too. Note the key of marriage is agape love, the fruit of the Spirit only. Among Christians, all cross-reference right there, among Christians. Then is verse 2. When she has departed from his house and goes and become another man's wife, if the latter, the second husband, detests her and writes her certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter, second husband, dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to his wife after she has been defiled. For there is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the Lord, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. So the divorced person is disqualified to remarry. So the former husbands. That's a cross reference, Jeremiah chapter 3, 1. Verse 5, when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. A married person was to remain at home 1 year for happiness, protecting one flesh over the couple from possible separation or divorce due to the hardness of their hearts. This is a practical. Even a man who is betrothed to a woman, he is recommended to return to his house for the happy marriage. So this one is we can see, you know, practically God's intention, you know, practically protecting. Verse 6, no man shall take the Lord of upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. Millstone is don't touch it, because God, you know, the settle the land. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreat him and sell him, then the kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. Verse 8, take heed in an outbreak of leprosy, today healable, but that time not healable, that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priest, so preach a lot of requirement to Levites, shall teach you just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Verse 9, remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into the house to get the pledge. You shall stand outside. The man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. So pledge is a lottery, the security to borrow or something. Verse 12, and if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge overnight. You shall in any case return the pledge to him again when the sun goes down, and he may sleep in his garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you people the Lord your God. Verse 12, God's heart is on the poor or the needy people. Love them as yourself, so return the pledge, which is a necessary thing, such as only one garment or only one blanket to the poor or the needy. So you may willingly do so for the satisfaction of the need by the Spirit. Verse 14, you shall not oppress or hire the person who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of your alien, who is your land within your gates. Each day you shall give him his wages, timely giving wages, and not let the son, his poor has his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, it be sin to you. Verse 16, father shall not be put to the death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Each person is guilty of their own sin, not succeed to others, either father or a child. Although the idolatry sin, idol worship in the household affects to the residing generation, third and the fourth generation. For example, pagan religion in a home affected all the living people in the home, then up to fourth generation or grandchildren. 17. You shall not pervert justice due to stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. 19. When you reap your harvest in your field, and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand. When you beat your olive tree, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it. Afterward, it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. 21. Question 3. Our God's heart is on the stranger, fatherless, the widow, or the least. Don't take out all of your harvest in the field, but leave some left over for their gleaning. For example, Ruth the widow gathered the leftover or gleaned the head of grain in Boaz's field, becoming the woman Jesus' lineage. Then last verse here, and you shall remember that you were slave in the land of Egypt, therefore I command you to do this thing. So we covered all three questions. Continue to keep on prayer, all mission prayer cast right there. So may God bless you, everybody.